Let's go ahead and stand. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Amen. He is worthy to be praised.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's better than it. Let birds leave all on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. Oh, my ways
everybody. I hope you're doing well. I want to welcome you. My name is Matthew. I'm one of the pastors here at Faith Family Fellowship. And so if you're a guest, just a word of welcome. As you came in, if you notice pew before you or behind you, there are these little cards We'd love to have a record of you being here and be able to reach out and pray with you and just get to know you a bit. And so that, if you wouldn't mind just grabbing one of those, filling that out, and there are boxes on the back as you head out that are marked offering. Just drop that in as your offering today. We'd love to know that you have joined us. And so would like to ask you to join me in prayer for a minute, to ask the Lord's presence upon us, that he would speak to us this morning as we have joined together. So, Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time. That, Lord, the flower falls, the grass withers, but God, your word endures forever. And so, Father, prepare us this morning to hear from your word. That, God, in the songs we sing, in the time together, and in hearing your word proclaimed, God, that we would hear from you. And so, Father, open our hearts, open our minds to hear, Lord, what you have said and how it reveals who you are. And that, God, we would be drawn to repentance and to faith in Christ. And that, God, you would be most glorified, Lord, in each of our lives this morning. We thank you and ask all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Go ahead and stand with us.
Sing out. before us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
God, we thank you for willing to take that price for us. A price you didn't have to do. But because you loved us, you chose to come and pay our sin debt so that we didn't have to. For that this morning, God, we give you the glory for it. Lord, we lift our hearts and our hands and we praise you, Father. You are a good God. You are a wonderful, amazing, mighty God. God, we lift up your name. Father, we give you praise. We pray this morning, God, that you would hear it. And Father, you would accept it. God, be with the message that the pastor is going to bring. Speak to us through him. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory that you're due. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen and good morning to you, and I want to welcome you today. They must have known I had a really, really long sermon for today because, you got me up here in a hurry. I'm glad you're here. My name's Joel, the pastor here, and I want to welcome everybody who's participating in worship with us by way of the internet. I couldn't help but think, I had this funny thought. My dad... Never, growing up with my dad, I didn't see him be a joyful man. Really didn't have a walk with Christ until my later teenage years. And at church, when I'd sit beside him, he would sing so awfully, you didn't want to sit by him. And I just kind of wondered what it would be like at home when you don't have the rest of the folks to cover up your voice or my voice, whoever has that kind of voice. And I just couldn't help but think of that. But anyway, we're glad you guys are able to participate with us. It's still unusual days. We're still practicing social distancing. We want to encourage you to do that. Pastor's still wearing his mask when he comes in after service is over. Again, just encourage you to do that. It's a wise thing to do. And then I do want you to know we're cleaning. Came into the office. I've got a sign sitting there that says your space, touch spaces have been thoroughly cleaned. And it was just kind of good to see that. So I want you to know that that's true in here as well. And we thank Pastor Ernie and his crew for taking care of that for us. We got some holiday coming up. 4th of July weekend is headed our way quickly next weekend. There's something far more important than that that occurs before the 4th, and that's my birthday, which is on the 2nd, in case you want to remember that. Aren't these some unusual days? I'm trying to give you a little laughter in the midst of all the stress. These are some uncertain days, and kids, teenagers, young adults, median adults, senior adults, we're kind of all in the same boat in the sense that we really haven't seen days like this, and they're troubling. And as we look across and see what's happening around our nation, and it's really very disturbing. There's no other word to describe it, but it's something that should not surprise Christians. Okay? One, I think we forget that we live in a very blessed land. Other people around the world live with tragedy like this day in and day out, and that we're having to face uncertainties and violence and different things. We need to be thankful to the Lord for what He has given to us. I had another passage of Scripture I wanted to read to you. And kids, I want you children to understand this in particular. What's going on, the reason why people are doing what they're doing, is the same problem that we all have. And it's the problem of sin. The second psalm asks the question, why do the people rage? And the people have empty imaginations. They dream all kinds of ways to do violence. Why do they do these things? And Psalm 2 goes on to say, because they have said, we don't want the Son of God. We refuse to let God rule in our hearts. Because people in whom God is ruling in their hearts don't behave like that. And if there's anybody who understands what injustice is, who would it be? It'd be the Lord Jesus. He was treated so unjustly. There was such here's the kindest, most gentle man to ever walk on the face of the planet with all the power resident within him, and yet he walked in humility and grace, and they killed him. And so if anybody understands that, Jesus does. I want to remind you, I came across this verse this week, and I just haven't been able to get it off my mind. And I made the first application to myself, okay? So I don't want you to think I'm saying this about other people before it's not gone through the filter of my own heart. And it's in Psalm chapter 7, and I want to begin reading in verse 12. It will not be on the screen here. It says, if a man does not repent, whatever the way our sin is manifesting itself out, if a man does not repent, turn back to the Lord, God will, ESV here says, wet, W-H-E-T, not W-E-T, wet meaning sharpen, it's an older English word for sharpen, God will wet his sword. If we don't repent, God will wet his sword, he'll sharpen his sword. He will bend the bow, he has bent, not will, but he has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. It continues on and says, but behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies, and he makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. And know this, his mischief returns upon his own head. And as on his own skull, his violence descends. But in contrast to that, the one who is in Christ with a repentant heart, verse 17 says, he will give praise to the Lord. He will give thanks to the Lord due to his righteousness. And we will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. So let's do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And the message about how do we respond to this, God is giving us a simple answer. And it's really not a complicated plan to implement, okay? So let's pray together. Father, we come this morning to your word knowing that as the scripture passage we are dealing with in John 17 says, your word is truth. And your people are to be sanctified, set apart, and made holy by your word. And Lord, we know that within our heart, there are so many things we might want to do, we might want to change. We may be like the sons of thunder, John and James, and want to call down fire from heaven and consume certain individuals. And Lord, it doesn't matter. I look at one news venue and it says the president's the problem. I see another and it says the Democrats are the problem. And Lord, we know that the problem is what's resident within the heart of all humanity. And it is sin. And Lord, we pray that you might bring deliverance to our nation through the plan that you had set in motion in eternity past, that you might redeem unto yourself a people who would be a light unto the world, and that we would not hide that light. It's to be set on top of a hill, that we wouldn't put it under a basket so that others can't see it. But Father, we would let that light of Christ within us shine so that others may see Christ in us. Come to Jesus and be saved. All the ends of the earth. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we've been looking at the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. So if you have that Bible with you, if you'll turn to it, we'll also have it on the screen up here for you. But we pulled out three words, and I'm probably going to add another one because it'll just fit in for next Sunday. All right, we pulled out three words out of it. The text, and it was one we were given. Jesus talked about you and I as believers in Christ were given to him by the Father, and his eternal love and his great plan of salvation that he has given to us. And then we've looked at the word kept, how that when we come to Christ, he saves us to the uttermost, to the end. What he begins in us, he completes in us, and we are kept by his grace. And we look and see in eternity past that your name was already written in the Lamb's Book of Life that Revelation refers to. And it was written when? Not in the moment you were born again. And that's when we expect it to be written down. It's almost as if our expectation is that the moment you were born again, your name is written down. You know, there's an angel recording. Oh, yes, I see that one repenting of sin, turning to Christ, placing faith in the Lord. Write their name down in the book of life. But the scripture says no. And the scripture is our guide, not what we think. And the scripture says your name was written before the foundation of the world. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are kept. I mean, wait a minute. Come on, think about it. Do you ever get discouraged and wonder, am I really going to make it? Huh? I look at myself and go, wow, I don't know if I'm really going to make it. If you're in Jesus Christ, you are kept. Your name was written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. And God does not have an eraser, okay? You're there. So behave like it. All right? So behave like it. That's what the scripture says. So let me go to the third word, and that is the word sent. In John chapter 17, I want to begin reading in verse 18. And as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them, the disciples, into the world. In the same way the Father sent Jesus into the world, he is sending his disciples into the world. For their sakes, I consecrate myself. It's the same word as sanctified in the second half of the verse. But it's Jesus Christ saying, I'm committed to follow through on what the Father sent me to do. I'm following through on that. What did the Father send him to do? To die on the cross for our sin. So I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified in truth, in reality, in the truth, which is Christ Jesus, according to the truth, which is the Word of God. So I do not ask for these only, but notice what it says, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And the word here, you cannot divorce it from verse 17, where it says, His word is truth. Their word, the disciples' word to the people of the world, is to be what? The word of God, the message of Christ. There's no other message that we have. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus, our Lord. So he says, I ask this for the sake of those who will believe through the word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world, and here's a purpose here, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, and I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know, and here's our word again, that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. So kids, for your sake, actually for your parents' sake, three simple questions, all right? Three simple questions, they should come up on the board here. Who sends us? Why does he send us? And what is the result of being sent? So just a simple little message this morning. And by the way, there's 17 different verses, I believe. So kids, if you can help me bring up those 17 different verses as I'm going through, that would be sweet, okay? And bring it back to me after the service is over. Okay? I bet your moms and dads can't do it. All right. Who sends us? Well, the question is answered very clearly, very simply in verse 18. As you sent me, Jesus is praying to the Father, in the same way that you sent me, so I, Jesus, am sending you. So who sends us? It really is, we ought to ask the question, who is sent? Who is sent? Well, the one being sent here, first of all, is Jesus himself, right? Jesus himself was sent by the Father. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus' death on the cross was not an accident. There wasn't plan A, and that didn't work out. And then there became plan B after Adam and, you know, Adam and Eve was plan A, and they were supposed to live perfectly. And then plan B was everybody was supposed to receive Jesus as the Messiah, but that didn't work out. So plan C is Jesus dying on the cross. That's not the way it works. Notice, I'm going to pick just two verses out of Peter's sermon at the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, And this Jesus, the one that you guys crucified, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Oh, they were guilty. And they gladly did what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. But do not misunderstand it. Jesus was sent into this world to fulfill his Father's plan, and that was to redeem unto himself a people that would become his eternal dwelling place. And those are the saints of God, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it in a microcosm here on earth in the church, and we'll do it in heaven in a glorious way, from people from every land and every tongue and every nation and every ethnic group will be gathered together, and we will be the dwelling place of God for all eternity. He was sent, but we are sent. We are sent. Every believer is sent. Luke's gospel records Jesus sending out the 70 disciples. And I want to make that point. This isn't the 12, because when people say, well, Jesus sent the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, to go and to reach the world. So that's you guys, that's preachers' job. And it is our job. I mean, I'm called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. But this isn't the 12. How many does he send out? He is 70. These are people just like normal people. All right? The 12 were probably in that group. But within that group, there's many, many other people. And he sends out 70 of his disciples. And in verse 2 of chapter 10 of Luke, it says, "And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, and behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way." I wanted to make sure that verse was in there with us, because we tend to think, I can't go. I don't know enough. I'm not prepared enough. I don't have enough. You know, if God called me to go to Mongolia to be a missionary, there's no way I can get there. I don't have the money to do that. Well, what did Jesus do? What did he tell his disciples to do? Go. And don't worry about what you have. Jesus taught his disciples, when you stand before men to speak in my name, don't worry about what you are to say in that moment, for I will bring it to your heart what you should say. It's just a simple command. We are all sent with the gospel to take it to the ends of the earth. Notice in Luke 10, and it'll be up here, Luke 10, verses 17 through 20, when they come back, the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." I mean, they were excited. They went out, you know, feeling ill-prepared, but under the command of their master, Jesus. And they come back and they go, "Wow! It was so exciting. We saw the demons being subject to us in your name." And Jesus' response to them was, "Wow! I saw Satan. I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. And know this, I have given authority to you to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." You and I go out sent under the authority and power of the Creator of all creation, the God who came and saved us, died on the cross for us, offers His grace freely to us. That same one has given us authority to go in His name and to share it. We're so glad to have the Andersons back again with us while they're here, missionaries to Thailand. And they are sent under authority of not the church. They're sent under the authority of Jesus Christ. He said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples." That's what they're doing. But you know what? It's just the same over there as it is here, isn't it? I mean, you shared the gospel with your neighbors and people you come in contact through with the school that you work with, and everywhere you go, you share Him. Every people you come in contact with. And you know, we don't come in contact with as many people these days. And we really ought to be able to know how well we're doing in following this command. We're sent. Because how many times am I really taking a moment to see if my friend, my neighbor, that person that's at Walmart wearing a mask, making minimal wage, exposing themselves to the virus, and do I take the time to say something to them and maybe ask the question? Man, you are giving sacrificially to me, and I want to thank you for it. You know, there was somebody else who also gave himself more sacrificially to every human being, and that's the Lord Jesus. Isn't that just a simple way to communicate that Christ is Lord? You and I are sent like these disciples were sent. Number two, Why does he send us? Well, he sends us in order to fulfill the command that God had. It's really one purpose that has so many different ideas around it. He sent them, Jesus was sent rather, to that people might know him, might know the Father's name, he says. Jesus was sent, Mark 10:45, he says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus had said here in John 19, I consecrate myself that they may be consecrated or sanctified in truth. And for those who will believe in their word, Jesus was sent to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was troubled, John 12 says. John 12, right before the beginning of the last week of Jesus' life on earth, in his humanity, he says, my soul, verse 27 of John 12, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, but for this purpose, this reason, I have come to this hour. So let me ask you the question, why are you sent? Why is God sending you? And God is sending you and he's sending me for the very same purpose. Troublesome days. They're not comfortable days. Historically, when plagues have broken out, do you know who it has been? That have gone to the aid of those that have diseases. It's been Christians. It was Martin Luther who, in the 1500s, after coming to a conclusion that men were saved by, they were justified by faith alone in Christ alone, and not by the works of man's righteousness, could anyone be saved? He stood before the king. And the king had all authority to take his life. And there was a debate that took place. And Martin Luther laid out all of his arguments for the truths of what he was claiming, because it came out of the written word of God. And when he finished his statement, his expectation was that he would have his head removed from his body. He said, upon this I stand, I can do no other. People have done that before us. And I think, Lord, would I go get in the midst of all this mess that's going on and stand up and say, hey, stop this. This is not of God and this is not of Christ. But God does send us into those moments. And you and I say, well, but I'm afraid. But so were these disciples afraid. So was Martin Luther afraid. But God overcomes our fear. He gives us great grace to go and to do what we're not wanting to do necessarily out of our own humanity, but we want to do it because we're commanded to by God and because we know what it is to be redeemed. We go through troubled times knowing the certainty of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Do we really? Are we really, really willing to go and to tell others about him? That's why we are sent. When Jesus ascended into heaven, those disciples were gathered around him. And you'll remember what Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 said. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He's speaking of what happened in Acts chapter 2. It's what happens to every believer when we come to faith in Jesus Christ and we're born again of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And so he says, this is what will happen. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. You may be a lot of other things, but you know what you are as a believer? You are a witness for Jesus Christ. You may say, I don't know that I signed up for that. Yes, you did. Jesus, when he called you to be his child, he called you to be his servant. And he said in these verses and other verses, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. He's my master. He's my commander. He's in charge. I didn't serve in the military. I don't know what it's like to have a commander over me saying, do this, and know that I must carry it out to the T. But I did play sports. I had coaches. And they were given the authority in those old days, because I'm really part of the old days, that if you didn't do what the coach told you to do, he had a paddle. And boy, they would paddle you. I've seen more than one guy come in late for practice and climb over the fence, and the coach hit him with paddle and literally see blood running down the back of their legs. It would be abusive, obviously, and I'm not promoting that. But I am saying, listen, I know what it's like for someone to be over you and to say, do this or else. We're soft. We're way too soft as a people of God. God has said, I have sent you, and what I have sent you to do is to proclaim this good news. That God sent His Son into this world to redeem us, to save us from our sins, to make us new creations in Christ Jesus, to take out that root of hatred that is in our hearts. Every one of us have those roots of hatred in our heart, and He's the one that rips them out. I wish I could recount for you the times in my own life where God's had to go in and just pull out roots of bitterness and hatred and prejudice in my own life. But I'm going to tell you what, when you get in a wrestling match with God, God wins every time. And the good news is He has called us to be sent into the world to declare that this same Jesus can transform a society. Our society was built on these principles. We are not living according to these principles, and the reason is because the overwhelming majority of our population are not believers in Jesus Christ. You say, well, you're judging people. No, I'm inspecting fruit at that point. By their fruit you shall know them. By their fruit you shall know them, and that's not the fruit of followers of Jesus Christ. And what people need, they need a Savior. They need a Savior, and they need a friend to come to them and with compassion and willingness to die as Jesus died, to say there is a Savior and His name is Jesus. I don't know how many godly black mothers I have talked with over my lifetime who have talked to me as a pastor and said, oh, pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. They grow up, they live in a very violent environment, and I raised them to know Christ. I love Jesus with all my heart because Christ has saved me. Oh, would you not pray with me? Would you not join us and sing our people one to faith in Jesus Christ? Oh, can you not hear that call? And I think the Father in heaven must be calling out unto us and say, will you not go and will you not tell? He sends us to tell the good news. I'm amazed by Paul all the time, I guess. I'm overwhelmed by some of the things that he does. In Acts chapter 18, it tells us, you know, Paul went into Macedonia by himself. He was expecting Titus to meet him at Troas. When he gets to Troas, Titus is not there. And it says, so he had many opportunities. The Lord had opened up doors of opportunity for him to preach there in Troas, but he said he was troubled in his spirit. And he said, I went on into Macedonia. And I want you to see what it says here in Acts chapter 18. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word. When they came to Paul, and Paul had been by himself, when they find Paul, what did they find Paul doing? Testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. He's in an area, nobody knows who he is. He doesn't have to declare, what happens where he is stays where he is kind of example. And what do we find Paul doing? We find him declaring the glories of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says in that same chapter, Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10, "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people.'" Go! But they don't listen. It doesn't matter. Go! Let's go. God will be with us. He has many people in this city. Some of them, many of these people in the cities around here are in churches. That's where Paul went. He went to the synagogues. You know, we say, well, everybody's a member of a church. But because you're a member of a church doesn't mean you've been born again, does it? How many of you were ever a member of a church before you were born again? Would you just lift a hand? I'm just curious. Okay, that's about half of us in here. Who are saying, I was a member of a church. Member meaning I was a member in good standing, confessing that I was a born-again child of God, but wasn't really. Okay? And so Paul finds that, man, there's field white unto harvest. And we keep saying, no, the field's dead. No, the field is white. It just may be we need to go see some other churches. We may be looking our own church for someone to declare the goodness of Jesus Christ. Well, what was the result of being sent? Well, in John 17, he clearly says in verse 21, "That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. And they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me." You know, I can't help but remember the night that I was born again. One of the great things that the message that I heard that night that grabbed my soul was that God, I'd heard John 3:16 growing up as a kid. I knew that the Bible said God loved me, but it was that night that all of a sudden I heard it with my spiritual ears. The God who made me and created me, and though I was not a perfect person and could not live a perfect life, He loved me. And He sent His Son to prove that love for me and to pay the ransom price for me. And the world needs to hear that. That is the result. Many people will be saved. Many people will be saved. You may say, well, preacher, I've tried it before and it didn't quite work out. Listen, you're not dead, are you? Keep doing it. You don't know what a lifetime looks like until you've lived it. I got a text from a guy Friday. He says, "I was just checking to see how well y'all are doing through this. The church is doing through the coronavirus." I said, "Call me in 3 years and I'll let you know." I don't know how we're doing in it. I won't know until after we've gone through it. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to press forward. We're going to seek God's face. We're going to do the best we can to be a people on mission with God, with violence on our streets and a virus killing our people. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get out there. We're going to engage people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. And I'm almost done, okay? 2 Corinthians 2:14. Paul tells us what happens as we share the gospel. He says, "Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession." So when you feel like you're beaten down, you know, you're not getting anywhere, you tell your neighbors about Christ, they don't want to listen. You tell the person at Walmart about how God loves them, and they go, "Yeah." Or their response is, "Well, I was baptized when I was a kid." You know, they don't respond, "Yes, I know the Savior. You know the Savior too?" That's what you would expect out of a believer, right? certainly. When you get discouraged, God leads us with Christ in a triumphal procession and through us. So we are in this procession. You know what a procession is? It's a parade. So he wants you to get this kind of picture. It's actually a parade after a war has been won. That's the context of the mind of Paul as he's talking about this. So a war has been won. All the enemies are in cuffs and being dragged down behind you, and all the people are shouting joy. Thanks be to God. He's leading us through this procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. So when you're sent, you've been sent by Jesus Christ. You've been sent into the world to declare Him. And the result will be that through you, the fragrance of Jesus Christ will be spread to everyone. Now notice what he says in verses 15 and 16. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. You are a fragrance of Christ in this procession, sent by Christ on a mission to go declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, when he says, you are both a fragrance to those who are being saved and those who are going to die and go to hell. Your witness for Jesus Christ is never wasted. It is a fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in every place. 2:1, verse 16 says, a fragrance from death leading to death. They go, I don't believe that. I don't love Jesus. I don't want Jesus. I want to live my life without Jesus. You have been a tool of Christ to confirm that person in their unbelief. So that one day they won't be able to stand before God and say, well, nobody cared. Nobody told me. Nobody took their time to travel to the other part of the earth, let alone across the street, to tell me about Christ. It happened. And to others, it will be a fragrance of life to life. And then the question, he says, who's sufficient for these things? Well, Charles Spurgeon, I think, said it very clearly. What must happen in our lives to be that kind of people? Saints of God is. He said, if Christ is anything, he must be everything. If Christ is anything to you, he must be everything to you. Do not rest until love and faith in Jesus are the master passions of your soul. I want to be a witness for Christ. I know I'm sent. I have been saved, been born again by the Spirit of God. He's done so much in me. But Lord, I want to go, but I'm afraid to go. But Lord, if I can see that I'm a part of a procession that is triumphant, that it doesn't matter whether they say yes or whether they say no. It's the fragrance of Christ that's being spread abroad. And it's confirming someone in their faith in Christ, or it's going to confirm someone in their resistance to Christ. But it is a witness to the glory of the Savior of Jesus Christ. Help me, O God, to go. And I won't do it unless you are everything in my life. And you are more than anything. And I want you to be everything. Would you bow your heads together with me? And Father, these are certain words that you prayed, that your Son prayed to you in the garden before he laid his life down on the cruel cross at Calvary and shed his precious blood that we might have our sins pardoned and forgiven. Not because of our goodness, but by your grace. You're the one that said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and it's in me that you will find rest for your soul. And Lord, it may be that there's one here today, maybe listening on the internet. And Father, they've yet to cry out unto you by the Holy Spirit of God to say, Lord, save me. Lord, make me to be your child. I want you to be my father. And I realize that I'm a broken sinner. But you said, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Father, help us who have been born again of the Spirit of God to know that just as you were sent by the Father, you have sent us to the world to declare this great news, knowing that there are many in this place that belong to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I don't know if you have ever trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. I'll be hanging around up here after it's over and would love to talk with you. As you are leaving, let me remind you, our offering plates, our baskets are there as you leave. Offering is an act of worship to the Lord. And driveway fund, we've got it almost completed. We have about $10,000 more to be done in the fund itself. I don't know if you saw it, it's zero right now. Okay, we've spent it all, and actually I think we've spent maybe a little over. You've never done that in your checkbook, but just a few dollars over it. So we're right at $10,000 from needing to finish it out. We've got lights coming in. We've got some more work to be done around there. A lot of the labor is being done by Ernie and his team. And I know he's had some help from some of you as well. I want to tell you how much we appreciate that. I pray God bless you. We hopefully next Sunday will let you know what our phase-in plan will be. Okay? Lord bless you. Yeah.